Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Today, we bask in the light of mustachioed greatness. Hi, this is Daniel Segura, host of the Mustachioed Podcastio. You like mustaches? You like movies? You like sexy chinganos? Well, the Podcastio is the place for you. We are talking legendary mustaches from Charles Bronson to the Great Burt Reynolds to the OG Ice-T. Find the Mustachioed Podcastio anywhere you listen to podcasts. That is M-O-U-S-T-A-S-H-I-O-E-D Podcastio.
What's up, frickin' weirdos?
My name is Kevin, and I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and where_theweirdonesare on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything and stay weird.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again this week for another brutal and bizarre story. What are you going to be about today, Mom?
I am going to be telling you about some haunted hotels.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My story is a little, it's definitely brutal, but it's also kind of bizarre.
Okay. Cool.
I'm going to be talking about Otto Warmbier.
Oh. I saw that name recently.
You'll know this story name? As soon as, okay, I start talking about it.
Yeah, I saw that name recently. I don't remember what context, though.
So, to go with this story, I have the Supreme cocktail. And you'll see why it ties in here in a second.
Okay.
And it's 2 ounces of apple brandy, a 1/2 ounce of lemon or lime juice, 1/4 ounce of orgeat, and a dash of real pomegranate grenadine.
Yeah.
Let's give this a try. It sounds good.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty tasty.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
It's got like the orgeat gives it a nice little sweetness and the lemon and lime. It's more of a, like, on the sweeter side because brandy's already pretty sweet. But
right. Yeah. It's definitely sweet. But I like the sweet drinks and I like a little bit of the, especially fruity sweet drinks are my jam.
Yeah. So, I chose this cocktail because it's called the Supreme, and the leader of North Korea is called the Supreme Leader, and that's where this story takes place.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's so funny because I saw this story and started looking into it, and I had other stuff that it was like in my maybe that would be interesting, and then I found something else. So
yeah, it's a weird story.
Yeah.
Definitely sad. So
it's so sad.
Yeah. Otto was born in Cincinnati, Ohio on December 12, 1994 to parents Cynthia and Fred. Otto was the oldest of three Warm Bear children and graduated from Wyoming High School in 2013 as salutatorian. After graduation, he attended University of Virginia, where he double majored in commerce and economics and even studied abroad at the London School of Economics. During his time in college, he traveled to several different countries, including Israel, Europe, Cuba, and Ecuador. Otto signed up for a study abroad program in Hong Kong, and while he was visiting, he got the idea to visit North Korea. Otto found a guided tour bus of North Korea called Young Pioneer Tours, whose slogan was, "Destinations your mother would rather you stay away from."
100%.
Yeah.
Nobody... Yeah. People don't say good travel things about North Korea.
North Korea, no.
No.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of weird things there too. Like it's
bad stuff happens there.
Yeah, super weird laws that like if you're from America and you go there and you break this one confusing law, then you can go to jail for a long ass time. Like
right, you are fucked.
Yeah.
I'm not going there for a vacation. No.
No. The company advertised that the trip was safe for Americans, and Otto was curious about the lives and culture of North Koreans. So it seemed like the perfect use of his time for his time off for New Year's.
Okay.
Because China really goes all out for New Year. And mm-hmm. since he was studying abroad there, I'm sure he got a bunch of time off and stuff. On December 29th, 2015, Otto hopped on a plane with 10 other U.S. citizens heading into North Korea. Otto and the 10 other members toured the country and spent New Year's Day in Kim Il-sung Square in Pyongyang. And I think that's the one that has all the statues of the leader, and if like you're only allowed to film that there, and if you're caught like not filming it, you get in trouble. It's super weird over there. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know
if that's the same square I'm thinking of, but I know it's in Pyongyang that like it's like tons of statues of all the Korean leaders.
Okay.
Otto and So once they were done at the square, they headed to the Yonggato International Hotel, where some beginning burning the midnight oil. That means they went to the bar and drank.
Right. Although in Korea, you really got to be careful about burning anything, I think, because you don't want to get in trouble. Obviously, that's
everything
why we're telling the
normal.
Story.
Yeah, everything seemed normal until Otto tried to leave the country. While waiting to board the plane, two police officers approached Otto, tapped him on the shoulder, and ordered him to follow them. The rest of the group boarded the plane without Otto, and several officers entered the plane before departure and announced that Otto had become ill and would be staying for medical attention, which is super fishy.
Right.
Police don't escort you for being sick.
No.
Yeah. Several days later, Korean Central News Agency announced that Otto was arrested for a hostile act against the state and refused to elaborate until six weeks later when Otto spoke at a press conference. On February 29, 2016, Otto was seen reading from a prepared statement admitting to stealing a propaganda poster from a staff-only room in the hotel. The poster featured a picture of North Korea's leader and words saying, "Let's arm ourselves strongly with Kim Jong-il's patriotism." This is considered a major offense in North Korea to steal or damage property with the leader's name or image. His confession also added that his plan was to steal the poster for the Methodist Church and the Z Society, which they claim are both intertwined with the CIA.
Okay.
First of all, so Otto was Jewish, so he wouldn't go to a Methodist church.
You wouldn't
Secondly,
think so.
Secondly, the Z Society is like, it's like a Skull and Bones-esque thing at Virginia, the University of Virginia that he goes to. And he wasn't involved in that either. So they just made this shit up and made him confess this shit. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Mm-mm. On March 16th, 2016, Otto was tried and convicted of subversion. The evidence consisted of CCTV footage, his confession, fingerprints, and a witness testimony. His confession was, the one he gave at his trial was, I never should have allowed myself to be lured by the United States administration to commit a crime in this country. I wish that the United States administration never manipulate people like myself in the future to commit crimes against foreign countries. I entirely beg you, the people and the government of the DPRK, or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which is redundant, for your forgiveness. Please, I made the worst mistake of my life. That was his confession. That sounds completely scripted.
Yes, and 100% made up.
Yeah. The court held that he had committed a crime pursuant to the U.S. government's hostile policy towards North Korea in a bid to impair the unity of its people after entering it as a tourist. Otto was sentenced to 16 years of hard labor.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That is excessive for taking
Very excessive for stealing a poster. Yeah.
Fucked up, man.
Otto's parents met with multiple U.S. representatives, and on June 13, 2017, it was announced that he had been released from North Korea. However, on June 6, North Korea's officials claimed that Otto had come under botulism and was currently in a coma after taking a sleeping pill. Not good. After 17 months of incarceration, he was medically flown to the University of Cincinnati's Medical Center to determine the cause of the coma. Otto could breathe on his own and make small movements, but showed no sign of awareness of his surroundings. Aww. North Korean medical records had shown that he had been in this state since April 2016, shortly after he was convicted. Brain scans indicated extensive loss of brain tissue, but they couldn't determine why. On June 19th, 2017, Otto passed away. A funeral for Otto was held on June 22nd, 2017 at Wyoming High School, where more than 2,500 mourners attended. He was buried at Oak Hill Cemetery in Glendale, Ohio, and students tied ribbons on every tree and pole along the three-mile route taken to the funeral procession from the high school to the cemetery.
Aww.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. So
super fucking horrible story.
It's terrible. And they don't know, like, what caused it.
Mm-mm. They had some ideas, like, if it truly, there was no signs of botulism, but if he had it, a sleeping pill could have put him in that state, but, like, that's the only idea they really have.
I'm thinking physical trauma.
Like lobotomy? Something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Part of the reason they couldn't really figure out why is the parents requested that he didn't have a real autopsy. They only did a visual autopsy. So they didn't cut into him at all. But it's awful.
I know. I understand the parents' perspective. Like, it's not, an autopsy isn't gonna do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll give them a sense, maybe, of what possibly happened, but so much time had passed between when they got him back and when he supposedly fell into the coma.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring him back. It's not going to change the fact that, you know, something bad happened to him over there. And then if they did figure it out, what are they going to do? They can't. It's not like they're going to sue the North Korean government. I don't think that's going to go over well.
Nope. Nothing will happen from that. It's just awful. Right.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
And brutal.
Yes.
So let's talk about something bizarre.
Yeah, hopefully you cheer yourself up for that.
Well, I don't know if it's cheery, but it's not depressing. I don't think.
Yeah.
So I mentioned before that I took a trip to Denver, Colorado recently. And there are lots of stories and podcasts that talk about the Denver airport being haunted and conspiracy stories about the airport and its origins and secret societies. The Denver airport is really unique, like the build of the structure and everything. And then it's not close to Denver, really. Like, it's a suburb. It's way the hell out there. And it takes a long time to get from the airport. And there's lots of podcasts that talk about it. So I don't know if I'll cover or we'll cover any of the weird stories surrounding the airport in the future. And but we weren't planning to spend a lot of time there at the airport. I mean, who wants to spend time at the airport? So I wanted to learn more about areas in town that we were going to be spending more time at. And we stayed in the downtown area near the conference center with lots of free time on my hands because, you know, I wasn't working. It was your dad that had to work. So I got to goof off the majority of my day.
Wait, did you guys fly into the Denver International Airport? Is that the one you flew into?
Yeah.
Have you heard the conspiracy theories about it?
A little bit. I didn't look too much into it. I heard something like, so I have seen pictures that, some of the conspiracy theories have to do with like Freemasons and some of the secret societies having like underground tunnels in
there.
Yeah. And that they actually kind of play up to it where there's like signs and stuff that are like the Illuminati or doing construction in this section of the airport or something like that. I didn't see any fun signs.
Oh.
Which I was looking for.
Or something.
Yeah. I didn't see anything cool. So another reason that I didn't get super into researching stuff for the Denver airport, because we weren't hanging out there very much. But there was stuff that I was able to find for the downtown area where we were staying. So I looked into some haunted stuff near our hotel, and I was pleasantly surprised to find several locations all within walking distance. Two of them were actually the same place, but different parts of the building. Normally I tell you about one bizarre thing, but this time I'm going to be talking about two different locations with spooky things that happen there. The first location is the Brown Palace Hotel. It was named after Henry Brown, who was a prominent member of Denver community who had the hotel built. It is the second oldest hotel operating in Denver. It opened in August of 1892. The design of the hotel was inspired. The design of the hotel was inspired by the Italian Renaissance style, with Colorado red granite and Arizona sandstone on the exterior. And I took some pictures of our little trip to the hotel. So have those included in our Instagram posts. So you can kind of take a look. I mean, there's much better photos, but these were my photos, so I thought it was fun. Also on the exterior of the hotel on the seventh floor are 26 Colorado animals carved in stone. The inside of the hotel is designed with an open atrium that is surrounded by rooms going upwards on eight levels. Each floor has balconies facing the atrium with ornate cast iron grillwork panels. Oddly enough, two of the iron panels are upside down. Nobody knows if that was done intentionally or if it was done on accident and they just never fixed it, but they're upside down. I didn't notice them, so I'm not sure where they are, but that was something I found in my research. The construction was very unique for the time as no wood was used in the floors or the walls. Instead, terracotta was used, which made the building fireproof, making it the second fireproof building. The cost of building and furnishing the entire hotel was $2 million at that time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which calculates to about...
Using all that granite can't be cheap.
Oh, yeah. The granite and the terracotta and...
Yeah.
That calculates out to $70 million in today's money.
That's a lot of money for a hotel.
It is, but I'm thinking that that's not unusual. Like, I bet you hotels today cost about that much. But I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably just buy cheap prison furniture now, though, and like
probably
use shitty materials.
Over the years, the hotel has hosted celebrities and politicians as well as your average everyday traveler, but it wasn't only used for temporary stays. In fact, one of the residents kept it as her permanent home for 15 years. Louise Hill lived at the Brown Palace in one of the upper floor apartments, room 904. Her presence has been felt by people in her old room, and she is described as a sad spirit. A few years ago, the room was under renovation at the hotel, and the hotel historian was giving tours of the room and just, you know, like telling stories about the hotel because it is such a unique, it's really cool looking inside. I didn't get to see in any of the rooms, but I would like to have because it's such a cool looking building and architecture and stuff. So the hotel historian is giving tours and they go into the room where Louise stayed. And she's telling stories about Louise and different stories about things that happened at the hotel. The front desk started receiving phone calls from the room, but there was only static on the line.
Oh,
however, the room was under renovation and had been completely cleaned out of all furnishings, decor, including wallpaper and carpets and lights, as well as the telephone. So there's no way there was any phone in the room being used to call the front desk. So it's believed that Louise was making those calls because she wanted people to leave her room alone.
Weird.
The static calls stopped when no further renovations or tours were taking place in the room. Visitors have also This one's really creepy.
Yeah.
Visitors have also spotted a ghostly man who is either wearing a suit or a uniform that looks like an old conductor's uniform. He's often seen outside the entrance of the club, which is part of the hotel, or he's inside of the club. When approached, he disappears into the wall. It's always the same wall. And that is where, in previous years, the Rock Island Railroad ticket office was located on the premises. So he's wearing a railroad conductor, a train conductor's uniform, and that's where the ticket office for the railroad was located. And he's always in the same spot.
Weird.
Very weird.
Weird.
A typical report of other haunted places has been reported here, and that's the lights being turned off and on without explanation. A very strange occurrence is centered on the carpet. And this would probably, I mean, I think it would be cool to go visit a hotel and stay in a haunted hotel. Like, part of me goes, yeah, what's going to happen is just, we're going to see some weird stuff. But the carpet thing, so several people have described seeing the carpet move as if something is alive underneath it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a mouse. Hopefully it's just a mouse.
Well, and see, that's the thing. Like, I would prefer it to be a haunting thing, but I think my logical brain would go, no, there's bugs underneath that carpet, and they're so big that I can see them running around. And that would gross me out way more than seeing a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hotel's dining room previously provided live entertainment during dining hours, often with big bands and orchestras. One night, an employee heard music coming from the dining room, but it was supposed to be empty. When he entered, he saw several musicians setting up. He told them that they weren't supposed to be there, and they answered that it was okay because they lived there. Yep. Other people have seen a ghostly waiter in the elevator and ghostly children playing in the hallways. And a crying baby has been reported, reportedly heard in the boiler room. So
that's scary.
Yeah. A baby in the boiler room.
Boiler rooms are creepy enough.
Yeah. But then if you hear a baby crying, then you got to start thinking about why was there a baby there? And I don't want to think about that. So that's the Brown Palace. And now I'm going to tell you about the second location, the Oxford Hotel. This hotel is across the street from Union Station, the Denver train station. The Oxford Hotel opened in 1891, and it is the oldest hotel in Denver, being opened a year before the Brown Palace. The same architect completed both locations. Over the decades, the hotel saw continued growth, going through several renovations, updates, and expansions. One of the additions occurred in the 1930s, and that was the addition of the hotel cocktail lounge called the Cruise Room. The Cruise Room contains many hand-carved art panels on the walls throughout the room. Each panel represents a different country like Spain, China, or Japan, and Ireland, just to name a few. The Cruise Room opened the day after Prohibition was repealed. So my guess is it was there all along. It was a speakeasy. And then when Prohibition was lifted, they were like, okay, now we can say that we're open. In the 1950s, many of the older buildings and hotels in the area were demolished, but the Oxford survived. In the late 1970s and early 80s, the hotel was closed for some major renovations and restorations. It reopened in 1983, and then in the early 2000s, another set of renovations were completed to return some of the old grace and beauty of the hotel. Currently, the hotel lobby boasts intricate iron and tile work, displaying a simple OH monogram for the Oxford Hotel. It's really cool. Going into this hotel really does feel like you're going back in time. Like, from the outside, it looks old school, and then you walk in and it's just like, it's really funky and cool with all of the ironwork and the tile and the front desk, and it's pretty, it's a neat looking hotel. We had to go check it out.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. I got a couple of pictures from here too. Many guests have experienced ghosts from former times as well. In room 320, legend says that a murder took place there. The ghost appears as a woman in the room, and several people have spotted the face of a woman in pictures that they've taken inside the room. Sources differ slightly on why the woman is there, though. Some say she was murdered by her husband when he caught her with a lover, but others say the opposite happened, that she caught her husband with a lover, killed him, and then took her own life. People who stay in the room report the water and lights turning off and on for no reason. The room is particularly disturbing to men who stay in the room by themselves. They report being grabbed on their arms by unseen hands and their covers getting ripped off of the bed.
I'm good.
Right. Because of all these stories, the hotel makes an effort to not put solo men travelers in that room. We walked past the room and I got a couple pictures of the outside door, to the hallway. We didn't like hang out there, but I didn't really notice anything. I didn't hear anything. I also didn't want to look like a weirdo just standing outside of a hotel. Yeah. Because, you know, it's an old hotel, so you have access to the corridors, and we just climbed the stairs up it, and it was fine. It's definitely cool. An older looking hotel. Some visitors of the hotel report hearing strange sounds like wood breaking in other areas of the building, while others feel like they're being watched and that someone is following them when no one is there. Not a feeling I would like. The other most often reported ghost encounters occurs in the lounge, the cruise room. In the 1930s, a postman disappeared in the winter and wasn't found until the spring. All of his mail was still with him when he was found. In the cruise room, a man dressed in an old-style postal uniform appears at the bar and orders a beer. He often talks about needing to get his parcels to the children for Christmas while he's drinking his beer. When he leaves, the beer is still full, even though he was seen drinking it.
Weird.
Yeah. We went to the bar. It is super cool. It is really neat looking. The panels on the wall, the colors. They have like the whole room has got like a red light throughout the entire like wall system. So it's like a pink room. And so I asked our waitress if she had had any ghosty encounters, and she said that she'd never seen the postman, but she has found a full glass of beer sitting on the bar and no one was near it. And there was no explanation like why it was there. It just, she was like, full glass of beer.
Maybe the bartenders just do that on purpose.
maybe their bartender's just fucking with her.
Yeah.
That would be kind of fun. So those are my fun little ghosty experiences.
That's cool. Yeah. Cool that you got to like go and see them too in person.
Yeah. It was really nice. It was fun. I got to do that more often. Like when we go places, go check out
haunted ghosty, stuff,
haunted shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although if I thought about it, you know, maybe we need to go, you and I need to go stay at a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know about that.
No. There's one kind of close by. I want to go to it, but no one wants to go with me, so I might have to go by myself.
The one in Chamonix. Yeah. Have we heard about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm weird.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, if we have any local listeners out there who want to go spend the night in a like haunted hotel with me, get a hold of me. Maybe it would be fun. A little road trip.
Yeah.
Do you have a chaser for us?
I do. My chaser is an Instagram account called Big Merla, BIGMERLA. And it's like Weird Al Yankovic for moms. Like,
what?
All her, she does like parodies of like heavy metal songs and stuff like that. Like,
really?
Disturbed. Yeah, and it's
oh
like
my gosh.
All related to babies being annoying. Like,
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to have to go check that out. That sounds hilarious.
It's really funny. Like, the one I'm looking at right now, it's Disturbed Down with the Sleepless.
Oh, okay.
And she plays it all on, like, baby, like, xylophone for babies, like, and stuff like that. Like,
little kid toys.
She plays it on it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, I got to check it out.
It's really funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
What's your chaser?
My chaser is a bonus cocktail. We went to the Brown Palace, we wanted to hang out there for a little while. So we went to the bar, one of the bars that was there, the Ship Tavern, I think is what it was called. And looking at their menu, I didn't really find anything that looked good to me, except there was a tequila cinnamon sour. And I don't like tequila, so I asked them to make it with bourbon, and it was amazing. So I came home and figured out how to make it myself, and it's delicious. And I had way too many of them over the last 2 days.
It's funny.
So I'll give you the recipe. It is, you make a cinnamon simple syrup by taking equal parts sugar and water, just like you do a regular simple syrup, but you bring it to a boil to liquefy the sugar with cinnamon sticks, and then you let it sit and steep for at least 30 minutes, but I let mine steep for hours. And then you take the cinnamon sticks out, and you do 2 ounces of bourbon with 1 ounce of the cinnamon simple syrup and 3/4 ounce of lemon juice. Shake it all together, pour it over ice. It's amazing. And if you want to, you can also sprinkle a little bit of ground cinnamon on top. And I made it for your dad, and he fell in love with it, and then decided he had to do his own take on it, because he always has to try and one up all of my stuff. So he put whipped cream on top, which he loved, and then he took another one and turned it into a hot drink, and then put whipped cream on top. And so this drink is good hot or cold, with whipped cream or without. I actually preferred it without the whipped cream, with just a sprinkle of cinnamon on top. But your dad liked it with whipped cream more. So,
yeah, that sounds really good.
It's delicious. And it's very fall-like. And since it's fall right now, where we're at the beginning of fall, I thought it was absolutely amazing. And, I mean, I think you could do it. It was originally a tequila drink, so if you don't like bourbon and you like tequila, try it that way.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to drink tequila, so.
Yeah. Sounds better with bourbon anyways.
Well, I like whiskey sours, and it seemed odd to me. I've never seen a tequila sour before, and so I don't know. I just saw it and was like, hey, can you just sub in bourbon instead? And oh God, it was amazing. So I think I got the ratios just right.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you want to go leave us a review, love you, bud. Bye. Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.